Thank you, Brother Moore. It is my desire to finish my course with joy. And the reason for that is the Apostle Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not for me only, but for all of them that love his appearing. That's the one the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give. And the Lord knows every effort. He knows every dime we put into the work of the Lord. He knows every thought that we put toward his work. I, too, am happy to see Sister Moore here. Sister Moore Sr., Sister Beatrice Moore. And it's been so good to be acquainted with them down through the years. And Brother Moore's already gone on, but she's still in the battle. Amen. And there is a battle going on. No matter how long you live, you'll be fighting a battle. I asked her earlier tonight if she was still able to do all of her work, housework. And she said, well, since he's gone, there's not much to do. I guess she was kind of telling me that as long as us men are around, there's quite a bit to do. But whenever they're gone, you don't have a whole lot to do. But anyhow, I appreciate Sister Moore and Brother Moore over the years. And, of course, Brother Steve Moore and Sister Gayla, they mean a lot to me. And Brother Moore is so good to check up on us and see how we're doing. And Sister Rich was sick about all week, last week. I pray for her every day. And Friday night was the first time ever while I've been preaching I had to stop and pray for her while I was preaching. Her pain was so severe. But, you know, the Lord passed by and helped her some. And tonight she's feeling much better, but she was still weak. And I said, well, best thing for you to do, everybody will understand. She said, well, I won't get to be there for a long time because, Lord willing, I'm giving her a long rest. I'm going to let her rest about 4:30 Wednesday morning. And that's, just a couple days away. I said, best thing for you to do is just stay in and rest tonight, and the people will understand, and everybody's praying for you. And Brother Steve Moore is so faithful to call to see how we're faring. And we're going to be leaving here Wednesday. We go into Whiteville, North Carolina, Lord willing, and then on up into Lenore City, Tennessee, at Whiteville, North Carolina. Pretty tough up there. Those people don't drink coffee. And, of course, I figured out a way to take care of that. So they're chips off of the old Pentecostal fire-baptized holiness churches. But I got a way of getting that coffee worked out up there. And I'll be going up there at Whiteville, North Carolina, and then on into Brother Jaime Gonzalez Church at Lenore City, Tennessee. Then I'll be preaching a little camp meeting at Sneedville, Tennessee for Brother Hopkins. And then from there, I'll be going over to Brother Richard Crane's. And that's all Lord willing. And then I'll be dropping back down to Ryan Ralston to preach a couple services for him. So keep us in prayer. We really need your prayers. Not as strong as we used to be, but the gospel I have is just as strong as it ever was. And last Monday night, we had a couple went through the Holy Ghost where we were at. And, you know, God's still doing those things, still working, but it's going to take a lot of work on our part. And Brother Moore kind of stirred me up this morning. I've had a couple setbacks. It's not unusual for a person to have a couple setbacks. You just got to dig back in, gain that ground back, and keep on going. But I liked his message today. It's not what they said, but it's what God said. When God says it is final, there's no way to add to it. That's what I like about the Word of God. There's been a big curse put on anybody that would add to or take away from the Word of God. And so I want to keep my name in the book of life. And if I take away from the Word of God, he's going to take my name out of the book of life. If I add to it, he's going to add to me the plagues that are written in the book. So we better just leave it like it is. Preach it like it is. Oh, yes. Turn with me into 1 Samuel chapter 27. I wasn't quite ready to preach this message yet, But since Brother Steve asked me, thank you for that long notice. Praise the Lord. 27th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 27. We begin reading at verse 1. Maybe you ought to stand for a reading of the word. I might preach a little bit longer than I thought I would. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of the word beginning at verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul, and there is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David rose, he and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achaz, the son of Maach, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achaz at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David, with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achaz, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a space in some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achaz gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even to the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achaz. And Achaz, whither have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Canaanites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath. Now, the first thing I want to tell you and give you just a little background of this message. Even King David, even though he had escaped from King Saul several times, fear filled his heart, and he escapes to a strange place, down to the camp of the Philistines, where Gath, the big giant he had killed, escaped down there where he was at. And because of jealousy, Saul was trying to kill David. And the Bible tells us time and again that David could have even slain Saul, but he would not touch God's anointed, nor do the prophets any harm. And David said in verse 1, I read in your hearing, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul, and escapes to the land of the Philistines. Now he and his small army and his family join King Achaz, which welcomes David into his kingdom, and David began to fight battles for King Achaz. You'll be seated here in just a moment. But David does not get any high marks for this endeavor. No way can you give him any high marks for this. But I want to pull one verse out of this text, and I want to leave this rest of this text and preach from verse 10 from the pages of God's holy book, and preach from one phrase, whither hath you made a road today? Where have you made a road today? I ask myself this question as you are seated, and I want to talk to this church tonight about this question. You know, we need to be cutting some roads every day. We need to work on some roads that will further the kingdom of God. We need to realize we are only passing through this life one time, and we need to work on some roads, starting with our own spiritual life. Listen, I don't want one day to go by, but what I have cut a little bit on a road somewhere in the spiritual realm. That's why I get up at least 350 days out of the year. And first thing I do is pray, because I won't start cutting a road. Jesus said himself in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And so Jesus believed in cutting those roads. Many things we do down here are not going to count at all for us in the day of judgment. Only what we do for God will count. We need to build some roads that other people can travel on. But before we can build those other roads, we must build and make roads in our own personal lives. Some roads are harder to build than others. But don't let a day go by in your life that you have not made some roads in prayer toward God and the furtherance of His kingdom. Oh, at times it's easy to make some roads. Some days it's so easy to pray. I get up some mornings and I go on my knees in prayer, and it seems like 30 minutes or an hour goes by so fast. Other times I pray 5 or 10 minutes, and I find myself looking at the clock, see how long I prayed. But you got to keep on working on that road. Oh, whether have you made a road today? For other people will travel the road you make in prayer. Don't let it be said that any of you let a day go by without seeking God for your own personal life. Oh, preachers, listen to me. You say, well, I don't have time to pray an hour a day. Maybe not. But don't let this day go by tomorrow or today or any time that you don't work a little bit on that road that leads to heaven. What about your personal holiness? You see, every one of us could be more dedicated to God. We could be more sanctified in our lives before God. But it's something you've got to work at. Because if you don't progress, you will regress. There is no standstill in this work of the Lord. You must stay busy working for God. And you must keep cutting roads that leads to the heavenly world, even for others. Oh, what about witnessing to the lost? Are you doing that? Have you made a road? Have you talked to someone about Jesus? You know, I'm thinking about my wife winning that Buddhist woman to the Lord. She was making a road to the kingdom of God. Listen to me. Sometimes we make very little progress, but you might be surprised how much road you can cut just by spending 10 or 15 minutes in prayer for somebody that's lost and away from God. By calling their names in prayer, you're cutting a road. Maybe when they see you concerned about them, it does something for their lives. Whether have you made a road today? Oh, have you read your Bible? You say, well, I already know the Bible. No, you don't. I don't know it either. Brother Steve don't know it. Brother Brent back there. None of us preachers know the Bible thoroughly. Very few men know it very thoroughly. And some that say they know it, they cannot rightly divide it. So we need to make roads every day by reading our Bible. Oh, thy word, David said, have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Every day reading of God's word is essential. Have you made a road today in touching the life of someone who is discouraged? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:12 that we are to lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for our feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. When somebody's down, they don't need to be pushed down any farther. They need somebody that'll make a road to them and help lift them up. Oh, hallelujah. Have you made a road in your own personal life? Or have you made straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way? But the Bible said, rather let it be healed. It's God's will that those that are crippled, that those that have been mangled by the devil and sin, that they are healed and they're not turned out of the way. Let it be said, when this life is over, and the sun sets on Don Rich's life, that I don't let it be said I fail to make any roads. That's why I do going. Somebody, why do you keep going back to Panama? Why do you keep going to the mission field? Why do you keep preaching the gospel whenever you know you're getting old and not able to preach like you one time did? Because I'm still making roads. Now, your pastor here, sometimes we wonder probably what he's doing over there at Rob's ranch. Why is he going over there? Man, you could be down fishing. You could be hunting. You could be doing other things. Well, I'll tell you, did you see those two young men in this altar? You see what he's doing? He's making a road. And there's been others here in this altar that come from Rob's ranch. What is he doing down at the jail on Sunday afternoons when he could be home resting and sleeping and enjoying a big old glass of iced tea, just sitting back and let the rest of the world go by? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's cutting some roads. Hallelujah. Oh, my ministry's been very small, but I pray that we would understand that every service is important. And when I'm in a revival meeting, as soon as I finish preaching and that meeting is finally over, a lot of folks think the evangelist just goes home and lays down and goes to sleep. Many, many times I start cutting a road for the next service and the next message and the next time that I'll stand before God. And when we leave this place tonight, we should be praying for Wednesday night service, cutting a road for the glory of God to prevail in that service. Oh, when announcement is made that we're going to have a revival, it's time to start cutting roads toward a good revival where the Spirit of the Lord would dwell in us. Every service we should be making a road to a good service. Oh, through prayer, through fasting, and through seeking the face of God. In John, the 4th chapter, Jesus himself said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? Because there was a wicked woman and a prostitute, a harlot, that he needed to make a road to her. So he went into that city and stopped by that well at Sychar. And at noontime out come this woman. Oh yes, and Jesus asked her for a drink of water. Oh yes, he began to converse with her while the disciples went into the city to buy meat. When they come back, they saw him talking to this wicked woman and they wondered, why, what is he doing speaking to her? They did not realize if he could cut a road to her heart and get her saved and on the right road, she'd cut a road back down to Samaria. And to all the people that are down there in Samaria, they would hear her testimony. And they come out to see a man who told her all things that ever she ever did. And when they came out, they said to Jesus, now we believe. Oh, not only because of the testimony of this woman, but we've seen you for ourselves. But it would have never happened if Jesus had not cut that road, oh, through Samaria to this woman. Hear me. Jesus is warning us to get busy. He's warning us to do something for him. You say, well, Brother Rich, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher in the church at New Mission. I'm not a song leader. I don't sing special songs. Yes, but somewhere you can cut a road. Some way you can work on the road. Sister Deborah, remember that old song? I'm working the road to glory. I'm helping the weak and the blind. I want to build up a road that leads to heaven abode and make it easy for those behind. Anybody ever remember hearing that one? Man, you folks are Ooh, in a different generation. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, working the road, working the road, working the road. When I first went to San Blas Islands with Sister Gail Myers, she told me, said, Brother Rich, I need you to go with me. Said, their people won't accept a woman preacher over there very well, and I need you to go with me. I said, all right, I'll go with you. I'd like to take somebody with me. And she said, well, choose who you want. I chose Brother Neil Bridges. And we went over there, and folks did not understand why we were spending money to go over there to lay in those old hammocks, fight the mosquitoes and them roaches. I'm telling you, we're that wrong, Brother Steve Moore. You've been over there once with me. They didn't understand what we were doing there. But if you go there today, there's about 16 churches that are established there, and where the gospel is being preached, and where saints of God come, oh yes, and worship the King of Glory, and where the gospel goes forth. Listen, we've got to cut some roads. If you do not go out, and if I do not go out, now don't nobody get angry, but if we don't go out and win the lost in our area and make some roads in our area, believe me, the Jehovah's Witnesses are out there making roads. I said, they're out there making roads. So is the Mormons out there making roads. What are we doing here? Oh, you say, well, we've still got about as many as we had, and we're sort of holding our own. That's not going to be good enough. He's going to ask you this question. Whether did you make a road to further the kingdom of God? What did you do? How much money did you give for the cause of Christ? Where did you put your money? Down at the, what place do you go now? I used to go up there to Mazio's. I never did like that place, but or you go to Brahms, that's better. Hallelujah. But we used to go up, everybody get up there at Mazio's. Anybody remember that far back? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I don't like pizza. If I wasn't hungry, I wouldn't give you 15 cents for a semi-load of it. But listen to me. They did have some pretty good salads up there. But what I'm trying to tell you is we were up there putting our money there. And we go to Brahms and we go to other places, and I do too. But when it comes to work it, the furthering the work of God and supporting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be ashamed sometimes of how little we give for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now don't everybody shout at one time. But that's the way you further the road. That's the way you cut the road, is to send. If you can't go, you can send somebody. And here at this church, with Brother Steve Moore preaching like he's preaching, we ought to be willing to go out and do our best to try to fill every empty pew in this place. You say, Brother Rich, we couldn't do it. If we was all determined to cut a road, I promise you, we could improve our attendance. Oh, yes. What about that little girl? You've heard me tell about her before up there in Kansas City. Whenever we went out knocking on doors, and this little girl come to the door about this tall and had a bottle of whiskey in her hand. And I didn't know what to do. I knew she shouldn't have that whiskey. And I knew that to go in, the door wasn't open, closed good. I knew to go in and take that away from her. I took a chance on being arrested. But I reached over and grabbed that bottle of whiskey and set it up on a mantle. And then her older sister started coming down the steps, and their mother laid on the floor, passed out from drinking that whiskey. We were there. We were doing our best. Talked to this older girl. And I said, when your mother wakes up, give her this card. And if you children found out they didn't go to church or Sunday school anywhere, if you'd like to come to Sunday school, you'd have her to call this number, and we'll bring a bus right by here and pick you up. I wasn't expecting it. In the afternoons, I got a call from her, this girl's mother. Said, I heard you was by my house today. And I said, yes. I didn't talk to you and I didn't see your husband. She said, well, we don't know where he's at. Said he left a long time ago and we haven't seen him in a long time. And I said, well, we do bring a bus by there. Is that why you're calling? Something like this. And she said, yes, if you won't bother me, you can pick my children up whenever you want to on Sundays. I said, well, we won't bother you. And she said, that's about the only time I really sleep in. And she's sleeping on Saturday when I come by there. But she said, that's about the only time I really sleep in. You just come on by and get them. And I sent the bus driver, Brother Rudy Aguera, sent him by there to pick these girls up. And it gets very cold in Kansas City. And little snowflakes, very small, very small, was falling from the sky. And the least girl come out with no shoes on to catch the bus. Said, what was going to happen through all of that? We was cutting a road. We brought that girl and her little sister into the church. The girl was 12 years old. You've heard the story before. And they'd never been to church before in their life. And so immediately, the ladies of that church, hear me ladies, they got real busy. Found some shoes somewhere that fit this little girl. Not only that, but they got some clothes because their clothes were very bad shape and put clothes on them and brought them on up in the sanctuary. And they didn't know how to act. They'd never been there before. So they'd holler at each other and run around, you know, like some of ours do sometimes that was raised in the church. But they act like that. And so my wife went over to settle the biggest one down. Said, you're getting too loud. And boy, she drew back and said, don't tell me what to do. Because that's the only life they knew. Just fighting her way through. But we kept bringing them. Finally, I visited the home with my wife. The lady told me, said, I'll just confess to you, I'm an alcoholic. I don't want nothing to do with your church. But my children like it, and you can come and get them. I said, have you heard from your husband? Said, no, and I hope I never do again. To my knowledge, she never did. But we kept picking those children up, brother. And one morning, Tommy McDaniel's first wife, Paula Walsh, her mother taught that class. One morning, I kept waiting on that class to come up out of the basement down below the sanctuary. And they didn't come, and it was time to preach. So I told Sister Dreetha, I said, get another song. I'm going to go down and see what's going on. All other classes up. And I'll go down, and Sister Walsh meets me at the door and said, had this little girl, arm around this little girl, and said, she just gave her heart to the Lord this morning. And that's why we're not up there. I said, that's fine. Brought her on up before the church, and you thought the church would have been happy. You thought the church had said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I said, Sister Walsh is just telling me that this little girl we've been bringing in on the bus gave her heart to the Lord. And nobody seemed to be too excited about it. Isn't that a shame? I said, nobody seemed to be too excited about it. I had a big congregation, had a lot of people. But I needed those people too. I needed those children. Little girl turned 13 in a few days. And kept coming to church. And one morning, maybe 2.5 or 3 months later, they did not come back up again, Brother Steve. And so I went down to see what was wrong or what was going on anyhow. And when I got close to that door, I could hear people praising the Lord. And I could hear Sister Walsh's voice above them all. And I knocked on the door and eased it open. And here lay this little girl flat of her back. And God had baptized her with the Holy Ghost. And she was speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. When I brought her back up and told the people, and all of a sudden she went to speaking in tongues, there was a little more reaction and a little more response. All right, she had an uncle of another religion. Now, if you are Baptist, I'm not throwing anything at you, but if you teach the plan of salvation, that's wonderful. But there's more to it than that. He heard that this little girl, a distant uncle, had received the Holy Ghost, and he came up all the way from down in Kansas somewhere there, close to the Oklahoma line, to tell that little girl that what she got was not real. He told her, said, it don't belong to you. It belonged to the apostles. It belonged to the prophets and the early church, but it's not for you. And the little girl looked at him and said, well, what can I do? I've already got it. Can I give it back? I have it. What can I do about it? All right. Bumfuzzled him and he left out. And she kept bringing him to church. And one morning, she asked me, said, Brother Rich, He said, okay, if I go out in my community, invite people to come with me on the bus to the church and to the Sunday school. I said, sure, we want you to do that. I didn't know when I was cutting a road through there that day that this little girl was going to be a road cutter. I mean, a road cutter. And she went out, and Brother Ruta Guerra, maybe I could get his phone number if you're doubting, and find out. You'll see I'm telling you the truth. He said that Sunday morning when he turned that corner, he thought there'd been a bad accident down on that corner. So many people gathered on the corner. That little girl had 42 waiting to get on the bus, and told old Brother Rudy Aguirre when he opened the door, said, I've already prayed with two of them. I'm telling you, we need some of those road cutters. I said, we need some of those road cutters. That's what I'm talking about. Our church could do things like that too. Our young boys, our young girls could do things like that too. I don't know what's wrong with her, because we're not bashful when we go into McDonald's. We're not bashful when we go to Brahms. We're not bashful when you go out on a camping trip. How come we can't talk to somebody about their soul and tell them they'll soon be leaving here? Oh, that little old girl stayed in there until finally, I don't know where they moved to, but right before I left, her mother moved them away somewhere. I trust and pray that she's still cutting them roads. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that. All those people, I think we broke the record that day, Brother Brent. On a 70 passenger bus, if I remember correctly, we either had 102 or 107 on that bus that morning. You talk about sardinas. But they was pressing her like sardines. All because the little girl went out in her neighborhood. And it didn't just stop there. About every Sunday she'd have a group waiting to come on that bus. My Lord, it made me feel ashamed of what I was doing. I don't know whether it does make you feel ashamed or not, me telling a story. But we ought to be ashamed of how little we do for the kingdom of God. Brother Orville Hunt used to build roads, Brother Eugene, and he told me, he said, some roads are harder to build than others. He said, some days it don't seem like we get very much done. But then there's days when we get in certain kind of soil and everything just right, so we move right on. Well, that's the way the church should be. We go through those hard times. We go whenever there's not many in the church and there's not many new ones in the church. But God has sent. Listen to me. I don't know how long I've been coming here. You know, Brother Moore, our old church, and now this church, I don't know. But I just wonder how many God has sent by our way. Did we lift up the hands that hang down? Yeah. What did we do about those hands that were hanging down? What did we do about those that their knees were paralyzed and feeble knees? Or did they see that our path and our feet was not made straight, and it was a disappointment to them? Oh, God, help us tonight. I told you I wasn't going to preach long, but you're getting a message, aren't you? Whither did thou make a road today? Oh, where did you make a road today? If little girls and little, like that little girl turned 13 when she was doing all this work, if she can go out and do that, how did she do it? Because laying flat of her back, endued with the power of the Holy Ghost, God gave her power to go out, and her witness was made true. And you know how she was? Sister Walsh told me, said, it's my desire. Hope this is the desire of every teacher in this church at New Mission. She said, it's my desire that every student in my class comes to a real no-so experience in salvation when they leave this class. Well, this little girl, she'd heard that word, and then she got that experience. And when she got that experience, not even her uncle, who was a Baptist preacher, could turn her faith around. Oh, help us to have that kind of desire. Help us to do more. You know, I really get concerned about our church. Brother Moore, such a wonderful preacher, preaches such good messages. We're not ashamed to bring anybody here and hear Brother Steve Moore preach. We're always glad, but can you see where we're failing? to get new people here. So I don't know where they're at. They're here. Don't you worry about it. They are here if we go out and get them. How long has it been since you went out door to door? Leon, he reminded me of a sad day at Sims Street. I mapped out several areas around the church, and I was going to set a visitation. And I was going to send them out two by two. And I said, everybody be here at 9:30. We'll pray till 10. Then we'll pair up two by twos, and we'll go out. And I had these sections where I was going to send each two, out on these streets. Well, 9:30 came and nobody was there. Leon reminded me of this just the other day. I was hoping to forget it. 10 o'clock came, nobody there. 10:30 came and there was nobody there to go with me to visit. And it became an evident fact, if there's any visitation to be done, I was going to have to do it. They never did come, but I went on out and tried to cut a few roads. Then usually old brother George Rome would come. Strange fella, but he'd go knocking on doors. But don't we have somebody with some enthusiasm to do something for God? There's more than just making money, more than just having fine clothes. There's more than just being a success in this life. If you don't make no roads and you get to the judgment and God says, whither hast thou made a road? What did you do for the kingdom? What did you do for the advancement of the kingdom? Don't be like that guy that said, oh, they are taking an offering. They don't remember the past. I put in a quarter here, year before last. We don't can't be like that. We've got to understand that it takes money to do the work of God. Amen. Let me know that. And you're required by the Holy Bible to give God 1/10 of your increase. Now, if you want me to teach on that sometime, I can do it. You are required to give God 1/10 of your increase. But after you give 1/10 of your increase, you are required by God to give offerings and alms and help the poor. You're required. And my old pastor, and I know he was right, he said you cannot even give an offering until you first pay your tithes. How you like that? He says, no offering. He said, if you hadn't paid your tithes, it's no offering. You just need to catch up on what you owe from behind. What are you saying, all of that? I'm saying there's ways to cut roads. And everybody that's ever given me a dime to go forward and preach the gospel, thank you so much. And this church supports me. And every month I get a check from this church. But your pastor supports me. And another man in this church supports me on a monthly basis. But what are you doing, Brother Rich? Well, I just cut a road for my 21st church this past year. And we have, I don't know how many hundred we have in our churches. 21 churches. But we are cutting roads. Now I know where there's two more villages that nobody's preaching. Nobody is going there. They're tough to get to. I want you to pray that when I go back in June, I can cut a road to those two places and preach the everlasting gospel. It came to me. As a matter of fact, one boy came to me and wanted to know if I could come to their village when I was at another place. I believe there's somebody hungry to hear the word of God. How many pass out tracts? Anybody here pass out tracts? There's one. Nobody else pass out tracts? Yes. Passing out tracts is a wonderful thing. I went down to the OU stadium one game day, and I didn't get a real good reception. But it didn't stop me from standing there as they got their close to where they get their tickets or go in, make the entrance and pass out tracts. Sometimes they'd take them when they see what they were. They would throw them down. But I stayed there till I passed out every tract that I had. Hear me. I was making a road. Some probably didn't read it. I'm sure they didn't. Some didn't care what that track said. They was more interested in what was going to go on in the stadium. But God's got record of every track that I passed out. In Panama City, Leon and I stepped out in a rough place there to hand out tracks on the streets. And I mean, it's rough. We had 500 tracks written by Sister Shirley Savage on what must I do to be saved. In less than 20 minutes, we had all 500 of those tracks passed out. And people would see us passing out tracks. And they'd come. They didn't know what was given away. Just knew he was giving something away. And they'd come all the way from across the street and down the street to get a track. So they won't do that here, no. But I'm telling you, it's pretty hard for somebody just to ignore you when you've got a track stuck right in their face. Take this and read it. They may not do it, but go ahead and try it. Because you see, we are responsible. Is this all right, Brother Moore? We are responsible to build some roads. We are responsible to build the church. And our church has been sitting here about the same size for a long, long time. It's not the pastor's fault. No, no. The pastor preaches good. Every Sunday morning, he gets down here and cuts a road, right? Amen. Cuts a road for a message. This afternoon, I had no idea I'd be preaching. But before I came to church tonight, about 3:15, I tried to cut a little road for this service tonight. I know I'm not doing too good, but you're getting the message. Whither hath thou cut a road today? David was there in the wrong place. And you know what happened? The people of that country, the Philistines. Boy, you want to preach some holiness now, preachers. Listen to this. The people, the Philistines, come out. And they saw these David and his men. And their question was, what doeth these Hebrews here? When we go to the places of the world, yep, people know it. You found at the ball games or places out there, people are going to ask, what are these people doing here? I thought they got all of their entertainment and their joy and their life was built around the church. What are they doing here? Oh, I'm not in here all by myself, Elma. I'm talking about building roads. May God bless you. Pray for me that I'll continue. I don't know why. I know I can't preach very good. But my phone voicemail is always loaded with invitations to come and preach, because I have a desire to keep making roads. Hallelujah. Are you making any roads anywhere? What has been your record? Oh, if somebody wanted to know, what have you done for the kingdom? And it will be asked one of these days. It will be asked, for you have an appointment with the one who records every movement. You know, Jesus himself told us to go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in. Why? Anybody know? That my house may be full. It's God's will that we fill this church up. It's God's will that we bring in new ones. Every once in a while, Brother Randy and Sister Crystal back there, they'll bring in a few new ones. When I'm here, I observe to see what's going on. And I think that we ought to do better than what we're doing. Can you take that from an old white-headed man that loves you? Oh, yes, and believes in you and appreciates what you're doing already? How many just say, Brother Rich, I see where I can do better and work on the road a little bit better than what I'm working? You can't even lift your hand on that one? Oh, yes, you can do better. Don't think for a moment you can't do better. You can. Have you talked to anybody about their soul? Brother Jimmy's always talking about somebody. Brother Bruce is always talking about somebody at work that he's talked to. There'll be all kinds of opportunities if you'll be like that little girl. Get full of the Holy Ghost. God will afford you all types of opportunity. Stand with me, please. Thank you, Brother Steve. Whither hath you made a road today? You call anybody today? I've called 3 people today. Have you called anybody today and talked to them about the Lord? I've prayed for one over the phone that was sick. There's always something you can do. Always. And every time you do, you cut that road a little closer and a little farther. Every morning, Brother and Sister Moore, get up and pray every morning. Every morning, you're working on that road. It'd be good for you young couples to make that a practice in your lives, to get up and pray together. You may say, well, I've got to get off to work. Well, you can't afford 5 or 10 minutes when Jesus went all the way up to Calvary for you. Oh, yes, Sister Rich and I'll soon be married 56 years. There's one thing that's held us together. We do pray together. Oh, that's the strongest bond you'll ever get, is when you pray together. Hallelujah. I'm going to open this altar. I know this hadn't been a shouting message. Maybe Brother Steve Moore wants to come up and preach a while after I've wind her down here. But I think we need to open the altar and see who wants to come and help us make a road. That's what I'm doing. Say, yeah, Brother Rich, you beg for your own work. No, I'm not begging. I'm just presenting to you the fact that God blesses when we give to the work of the Lord. There is no way you can outgive God. Come now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, whither hast thou made a road today? Think of somebody that you could talk to. Think of someone you could call up. Think of someone you could send a card to. Think of somebody that's been missing church that you need to call or send them a letter and say, we really missed you in the congregation at New Mission this weekend or last weekend or whenever they were missing. Oh, hallelujah. Call upon Him. Lord, help us to make some roads. Help us to go forward, Lord. Help us to do something for you. Oh, Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Fill believers with the Holy Ghost and power, that we'll have power to go forth and witness to the lost and the dying. Oh, that we'll have power. Oh, to plead our case. Oh, before you. Lord, surely there's souls in our community, right around us here. Lord, over in Purcell, right around Lexington. Oh, God, and in the rural areas here, many houses have gone up. Somebody needs to tell them that Jesus is coming again. Somebody needs to tell them, Lord, oh, God, that they need to prepare. And Lord, we need to go forth ourselves, oh, in witness of your coming of again to this old world. Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, oh God, oh, God, oh, God, we praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father in heaven, every soul, bless the pastor here. Oh, and his wife. God bless them and all of the people here in this church. Oh, encourage their hearts to go forth, Lord, and do something for you. Lord, before the evening shadows fall any farther, and before we hear that trumpet sound, Lord, we don't know. Oh, we do not know. We do not know when we're going to run out of time. We do not know what's ahead of us. But Lord, help us today, to win some souls. Oh, God, help us to go out and spread the good news. Lord, we are commissioned to take Jesus to the lost and dying world. Oh, God, you've commissioned us to take
take him to a world that's lost and dying. Lord, help us to go forward and fulfill the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Lord, I praise you. I praise you for this opportunity. Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. We worship you, Lord, for your mercy. We worship you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, help us to reach that soul that's out there somewhere in eternity. Lord, before they leave here, to get the gospel to them. Lord, we must tell others. Oh, God, that is our commission. Oh, God, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not by my brother. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Nobody knows. Oh, nobody knows, Lord. Oh, the day or the hour when we run out of time. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Eternity is long. Oh, God, you've got the records. Oh, you've got the records, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, in Jesus' name, help us to go forward. Help us to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, around in this community, in the places, Lord, where we go to eat, and the places where we stop to visit. And Lord, those that come by our way, help us to tell them about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
Lord,
Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my Lord and my Savior, my God. Oh, oh, bring them in, Lord. Oh, God, you said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Lord, help us to shed some tears for the Lord. Oh, Lord, I say, there's too many dry eyes in the holiness church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, thank you for your attention tonight. Paul said, to the Jew I became a Jew. To the weak I became as weak. To them that is under the law, as under the law. He said, I became all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. We're not going to get them all saved. When we get through, there'll still be people lost. But I'd like to do my best. Did you know most of the people in the holiness